Before we look into God's word, I would like us to pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to reflect on the passage we read. We pray that the Holy Spirit will be here to open our hearts to your word and also give us the strength and willingness to put into practice whatever you teach us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think many of us have heard of a 2016 film titled Lion, based on the life story of an Indian Australian called Saru Briley. Saru got lost in India at the age of 5 years in 1987. Due to poverty in their family, Saru and his two older brothers, Gudu and Kalu, used to beg for food and money at their local train station in Kandwa. Gudu sometimes obtained work sweeping the floors of train carriages. And one evening, Saru accompanied him on a train ride to the city of Burhanpur, about 43 miles away from their hometown. When they got off the train there, Saru was very tired and he sat on his seat on the platform. His brother left him there and promised to be back shortly. After waiting fruitlessly for his brother, Saru saw a train waiting at the station and he got on it, assuming that his brother was on it. After traveling many hours, he arrived in the city of Calcutta. He could not find his brother and the scared 5-year-old Saru ended up living for many years in the slums and train stations of Calcutta. Eventually, he was taken into an orphanage and later put up for adoption. He was adopted by John and Sue Briley from Tasmania in Australia. Saru settled down well in Australia, but as he grew older, he was longing for his people in faraway India. However, he had a big problem. He was lost at 5 years of age, and he could not remember the name of his hometown. The good thing was that he had good memories of certain locations in his hometown, including places where he used to play around. He then came up with a clever solution to the problem of locating his hometown. As reported on the BBC website, Saru said, "I multiplied the time I was on the train, about 14 hours, with the speed of Indian trains, and I came up with a rough distance of 1,200 kilometers. He then drew a circle of radius 1,200 kilometers from Calcutta, and with the help of Google Earth, he zoomed in on a town called Kandwa and identified a waterfall where he used to play. In 2012, Saru traveled to Kandwa, where he had an emotional reunion with his mother Fatima after 25 years of agonizing separation. Sadly, he was informed that his older brother Gudu never returned because he was hit and killed by an oncoming train on that fateful night in 1987. This morning, I would like us to consider a well-known parable of Jesus, which involved an emotional reunion between the younger of two sons and his father. That son was spiritually lost, but he was eventually found. This is popularly known as the parable of the prodigal son, based on the reckless and wasteful behavior of the lost son in the story. However, the title of this message is, What a Loving Father! What a Loving Father! To remind us that at the heart of this story is the great love of his father. I would like us to focus on the following key points. A love that allows us freedom of choice. A love that is calling us home. And a love that we do not deserve. Let us consider those three points in detail. First one, a love that allows us freedom of choice. The request made by the younger son is stated in Luke 15, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. According to the guidelines in Deuteronomy 21, verse 17, in the Jewish culture, the older son was entitled to 2/3 of the property and the younger son 1/3. The younger son was a man in a hurry. He wanted to get his share of his father's property even before the death of his father. This was an unusual and shocking request because normally the property was shared after the death of the person concerned. We can even say that the request was unkind because obviously the father would be denied the benefits and enjoyment of 1/3 of his property for the rest of his life. Despite the unusual and unkind nature of the request, the father granted it, and the son later collected all he had and went to live in a place far away from home. Based on this background, three important lessons came to my mind. Number one, God will allow us to exercise our free will. He will allow us to make our free choice. This has been the case right from the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve exercised their free will and chose to disobey God. How are you using your free will? Are you making choices that will please God, or you are making choices that will please you? It is my prayer that we will exercise our free will only in ways that will bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Secondly, Cambridge University Dictionary defines patience as the ability to wait or to continue doing something despite difficulties or to suffer without complaining or becoming annoyed. We all need to be patient in life. An impatient attitude could lead to poor decisions with terrible consequences. One of the things that impressed me about the British people when I came to England in 1967 was seeing them queue patiently for buses and waiting patiently to be served inside various post offices and banks. The same impressive attitude is noticeable today as Britons queue patiently outside the supermarkets, standing 2 meters apart in line with the lockdown guidelines. However, I wonder how much of this public display of patience is evident in our private lives. Do you have an important decision to make? Are you going through difficult times? Please, don't forget to be patient. This lockdown period is a great opportunity for us to develop our levels of patience. So remember that the frustrations you and I are facing during lockdown could lead to increased level of patience at the end of the lockdown. I am sure we will need more patience, whatever the new normal is, after the COVID-19 crisis. It is encouraging to note that patience or long-suffering is part of the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Therefore, there is hope for those of us who cannot be described as patient. Even if you can be described as patient, I believe there is always room to grow in that important area of life. It is my prayer that we will all cooperate with the Holy Spirit so that we will grow in patience. Thirdly, the younger son should have been more sensitive to the needs of his father. Being insensitive and selfish is contrary to the idea of being good neighbors, which could be a barrier to sharing the good news of Jesus with others. Paul's description of love in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 5, really hits the nail on the head on this issue. He stated, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs." May God help us to demonstrate this kind of love in our interactions with others. Let's now go to the next key point: a love that is calling us home. A love that is calling us home. According to Luke 15:13, in the faraway country, the younger son wasted his possessions with prodigal living. After some time, reality started to sink in. He was without money, without friends, and without food. In that situation, he got a job in a farm feeding pigs, and he wished he could even eat the pig food, but no one gave him. For your information, feeding pigs showed how desperate he was. It was a degrading job for a Jew, because according to Leviticus 11:7, pigs were regarded as unclean animals. At that low point in his life, a change happened in his heart, as we see in Luke 15:17 to 20. It was as if the veil covering his mind had been removed. He came to his senses and he started thinking of the privileges and the loving father he left behind back home. He was also able to make a proper assessment of how low he had sunk, and he felt he no longer deserved to be treated as his father's son. He decided that he would go back home to his father and confess that he had sinned on two levels, against his father here on earth and against heaven, or against God. That was a crucial turning point in his life. As you can see in Luke 15:20, the prodigal son did not just make a good plan of what he would tell his father, he actually took action by returning home. Let us consider some lessons from this section of the parable. First, at this lowest point in his life, the prodigal son remembered his father. In Luke 15:18, he said, "I will arise and go to my father." Although he had let his father down badly, there was something about his father that gave him the encouragement to go back to him. I believe it was because of the love that his father had for him. Deep down in the prodigal son's heart, he knew that his father still loved him. Maybe you are born again, but you have let our Heavenly Father down, and your relationship with him has been strained for some time. If so, I want to assure you, he still loves you and is waiting for you to return to him without delay. Be encouraged by Psalm 103, verses 11 to 12. "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." At his lowest point, the prodigal son also remembered that his father was able to provide abundantly for his servants. In Luke 15:17, he said that his father's hired servants had bread enough and to spare. There are times when we need to remind ourselves that our Heavenly Father is a God of abundance. Maybe your financial and other resources are dwindling under the strains of this COVID-19 crisis. If so, I encourage you to continue holding on to the well-known promise in Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Another important lesson we learn from the behavior of the prodigal son in Luke 15:17 to 20 is that true repentance always involves taking action. The content of the speech he prepared and the fact that he implemented his plan to return home were good indications that he was not just sorry for his sins, but he was prepared to live a life of repentance. Is there any lingering sin in your life that you need to repent of? If so, I urge you to take urgent action, bearing in mind Paul's words in Romans 6, verses 1 to 2. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it. And now I want to go to the third main point of the message, a love that we do not deserve. A love that we do not deserve. After taking the bold decision to go back home to his father, the prodigal son got some pleasant surprises. We see in Luke 15:20 that he got more than he expected or deserved. His father did not wait for his son to walk quietly into the house with his head bowed down in shame. In an exceptional demonstration of true love, his father ran to meet him while he was still a long way off, threw his arms around him and kissed him. It is worth noting that the loving father did not start by rebuking his son for his sins, but gave him a very warm welcome before the son made his prepared confession. It was clear that this compassionate father had been longing for the return of his lost son for quite a long time. The reception the prodigal son received clearly showed the deep love his father had for him, even though he did not really deserve it. Indeed, the actions of the loving father show that he had totally forgiven his prodigal son, even though he did not deserve it. Let us examine the other actions taken by the father for his repentant son. Number one, the loving father asked the best robe to be put on his son. We see this in Luke 15, verse 22. Experts think that this is the kind of robe reserved for a special guest of honor at an important function. This change of clothing is important. His son had lost everything and probably returned home in poor clothes. In a profound way, those who have come home to our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ have experienced a change of clothes. Their dirty rags of sin have been replaced with the robes of righteousness. You see this in Isaiah 64, verse 6, and Romans chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. Have you experienced this important change of spiritual clothes? Why walk around in rags when you can be dressed in the best clothes possible? The loving father asked for a ring to be put on his son's finger and sandals on his feet. The ring was a symbol of authority. Furthermore, in those days, slaves normally did not wear sandals. Therefore, the sandals on his son's feet and a ring of authority on his finger confirmed his status as a son. He asked his father to take him back as a hired servant, but his father took him back as a son. As far as his father was concerned, the prodigal left home as his son, and he returned as his son. In John chapter 1, verse 12, we are given the assurance that those who have received Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord have been given the right to become children of God. When we sin, we should repent without delay, but we should remember that nothing can change our status as children of God. The third point, the loving father asked for a fatted calf to be killed and prepared for a feast and celebration. This kind of calf was reserved for special occasions. And as far as the father was concerned, the return of a son who was spiritually lost was a good reason for celebration. Indeed, in the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus said in Luke 15:7 that there would be great rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents. It is my prayer that someone watching this service will give reasons for rejoicing in heaven today. The warm welcome given to the prodigal son reminds me of a story I read about a song titled "Tie a Yellow Ribbon Round the Oak Tree," which some of you might know. This story I'm going to read was published on www.rd.com. This song had something to do with a story published in the Reader's Digest of 1972 about an ex-convict called Vingo. Vingo was traveling from New York to his hometown Brunswick on a bus going to Fort Lauderdale in Florida. During the journey, some young people in the bus noticed that he was unusually quiet. Eventually, one of them managed to get him talking and asked him if he was married. Surprisingly, he said he was not sure. Surprisingly, he said he was not sure. He went on to explain that because he was going to spend a long time in prison, he had told his wife that if she could not stand the hurt and pain, she was free to marry another man. However, once he was sure he was going to be released, he wrote his wife one more letter, even though he had not heard from her for a long time. He told her that if she would take him back, she should tie a yellow handkerchief to the big oak tree just outside their hometown, Brunswick. The idea was that if he did not see any handkerchief there, he will continue the journey and forget the relationship. As the bus approached Brunswick, the young people excitedly looked to see what will happen. But Vingo stopped looking through the window. However, as the bus came close to the oak tree, there was a big shout from the young people because the oak tree was covered with perhaps hundreds of yellow handkerchiefs, showing that Vingo's wife had forgiven him and he was free to come home. Yes, love had won the day. Is there someone you need to forgive today? Is there someone you need to reconcile with today? The behavior of the father in the parable demonstrated that he had a big heart to forgive and be reconciled with his difficult family members. May God grant us the willingness and strength to follow that good example. I am also very impressed with the wisdom demonstrated by the father of the prodigal son. The warm and compassionate welcome he gave his younger son and the careful answer he gave to the older son showed a lot of godly wisdom. According to Luke 15:28, when the older son was informed that their father was throwing a big party for his brother, he was angry and refused to go in. He looked down on his brother and in a way showed a kind of holier-than-thou attitude towards him. He also appeared to be accusing his father of unfairness and called his brother, "This son of yours," instead of, "This, my brother." The older son's behavior showed lack of compassion, sensitivity, and understanding. Instead of rejoicing that his lost brother had returned home, he was unhappy, angry, and complained a lot. On the other hand, their father was very patient and polite to the older son. He even pleaded with him to come in and join the party and he also explained why in Luke 15:32. The father said, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." If you want to attract unbelievers to Jesus, we must not look down on them because really they need the love of Jesus just as we do. And we are not really better than them. We are all sinners. We must get rid of a holier-than-thou attitude in all our behaviors. Furthermore, when they have accepted Jesus as their Savior and Lord, let us genuinely rejoice with them and encourage them to grow in Jesus. May God also grant us heavenly wisdom to handle various relationship problems in our families. Furthermore, the deep, undeserved love that the father of the prodigal son demonstrated is a reminder of the great love that God lavished on us in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, NIV version, we read the following encouraging declaration. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. We can be sure that a God who loves us so deeply also cares about everything we are going through today. When I was working abroad, one of our brothers in Christ used to mention in his prayers what he called the things that kept our church members awake at night. Therefore, let me ask you, do you have anything that is keeping you awake at night? If so, I urge you to put it in God's hands and enjoy your sleep every night. Whatever your problem may be, please remember that the sovereign God who never sleeps is on full-time duty on your behalf, giving you all the help and support you need. He is in total control, and he knows exactly what to do and when to do it in order to help you. Let us continue to trust him, and irrespective of what we are passing through, let us know that he is there for us. Be encouraged by the words of Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." In conclusion, we have considered the topic, "What a loving father," and we focused on the following key points. Firstly, a love that allows us freedom of choice. Be careful how you use your free will. Use it to make choices that you will never regret, and choices that will bring glory to our God. Make good use of every opportunity to grow the virtue of patience. The lockdown is a tremendous opportunity to grow in patience. The second key point was a love that is calling us home. True repentance always involves action. Is there any sin you need to repent of today? If so, I urge you to bring it to Jesus and repent without delay. It is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who opens the eyes of the sinner to see his or her need for salvation. It is the Holy Spirit who will bring them to their senses. Continue to pray that this will be the experience of our relatives, neighbors, and friends, that they would have their eyes opened by the Holy Spirit and come to salvation in Jesus Christ. The third key point was a love that we do not deserve. Whatever we are passing through, we need to remember that our sovereign God, who loves us deeply, is on full-time duty to help us. Let us continue to trust Him. Is there someone you find difficult to forgive? Is your relationship with anyone broken down? Ask God to help you deal with these issues, but be prepared to follow His directives. We do not deserve to be treated as God's children because of our sins. However, God has lavished His love on us through Jesus Christ, thereby making it possible for us to become His children. Have you accepted this great love? We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and not by any good thing we have done. We see this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 9. If you have never accepted that free gift of forgiveness that Jesus paid for on the cross, I invite you to do so today. There will be great rejoicing in heaven if you accept that invitation. If you have received that free gift already, are you growing in your Christian life? If not, what is holding you up? Bring it to Jesus today, and He will help you deal with it. May God interpret this message into our hearts. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for Your word that has gone out. I pray that You use it to challenge us, You use it to encourage us, and You will also help us to apply the lessons learned from this message. We also would like to pray, O Lord, for those people who have lost loved ones as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. Lord, I pray that You deeply comfort and strengthen them. We also pray for those who are sick in hospitals, in care homes, in their homes, in clinics, and other places as a result of COVID-19. Father, I pray that You stretch your hands to heal each and every one of them today. We also would like to pray, Lord, for Your protection from infection for all of us. Father, I also pray that You grant wisdom and inspiration to those specialists, researchers, who are trying to find an effective cure and also vaccine for COVID-19. I pray, Lord, that you grant them success sooner than any of us can imagine. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.